Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Verse 4 says, and the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. If that doesn't make you think of Exodus chapter 19 when the Lord came down to Mount Sinai, I don't know what it would be. Wait. Yes. Got a question. Go ahead, Cinda. Yes. Around all the worship that comes from the Bible, it tends to always be in threes, right? Every Friday night, we read from the Aaronic benediction. What is that? Keep a finger here. Nah, don't keep a finger here. Just go back to the Aaronic benediction in Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Verse 22. You know the blessing. Verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, what's that word saying? Right from the lips of God. Speak to Aaron and his son saying, that is, don't you change a word. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, get ready to hold up a finger. One, the Lord bless you and keep you. Two, the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. Three, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. How many? Three. The sign that the priest makes, or the rabbi in these days doing the Aaronic benediction, is the sign that you've seen from Spock, right? That's the sheen. The sheen is in three parts. The sheen stands for El Shaddai, Almighty God. At Havdalah, which we did just a couple weeks ago, the Havdalah candle always has to have a multiple of how many wicks? Three. It can be 3, 6, 9. It can be 300, which is the biggest one I ever saw, and I'm glad they didn't light it while I was there because it was too warm. But always three, because of the triunity of God. We don't have three gods, but God appears in three ways. Okay, back to the scripture here. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold. Behold means don't miss. This is too important. A throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. We read that in Isaiah 6. He sat on a throne. Why do you sit on a throne? You sit on a throne to judge. It's Yom HaDin. It's judgment day. Let's turn back in the book of Daniel and read about it. Daniel chapter 7 talks about the Lord sitting on his throne to judge.
So that explains why Isaiah was scared to death.
That explains why in Isaiah 6, Isaiah scared to death. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. Which means this isn't going to go well for me because I'm a sinner. Daniel chapter 7. Starting in verse 9. Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. I watched till... No, you're not there yet. Let me give you a minute. Verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. That's Messiah. Why is Messiah called the Ancient of Days? Because he was in the beginning with God, and he was God. John 1:1, he's been from the beginning. He created all things. I watched till thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, which indicates his purity and righteousness. Hair of his head was like pure wool,
That just indicates age and wisdom. His throne was a fiery flame. What does flame indicate in prophecy? Judgment. Its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. What are the books going to be for? Judgment. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Why do I keep saying it's Messiah who sits on the seat to judge? Because of John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Who judges? Messiah judges. If you're a believer, who's your defense lawyer? Messiah. It doesn't get any better than having the judge as your defense lawyer. That's really good. Trust me. 1 Corinthians 3. It's just believers who were caught up at the trumpet call there in Revelation 4:1. So what judgment is being done? Yes. You need to jump up and down or something. You got them to help. So go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. Whenever you said John 5:22 and 23. Is there a verse that corresponds to that in the Old Testament?
We just read it.
Yeah,
John chapter 7. The Ancient of Days sitting on a throne. That's Messiah. Oh, no problem. I don't listen to me either. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What judgment is it for believers? Are we being judged for whether we're saved or not? No. If you weren't saved, you didn't go. So the judgment in Revelation 4 is for reward. There are two judgment days. One's Rosh Hashanah, the other's Yom Kippur. You want to be on the Rosh Hashanah judgment for rewards. The Yom Kippur judgment, not for rewards. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. This is called the Bema Seat judgment. This is the judgment of Revelation 4. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Messiah Yeshua, which means you can't be saved any other way. If you're not saved by faith through Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection, you're not at the Bema Seat judgment. You're waiting for the great white throne, and you don't want it. Verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation, meaning what you did before you got saved is not relevant. Nothing you did before you got saved was worth the reward. Amen? Amen. If anyone builds on this foundation, what do you do after you're saved? Did you build with gold, silver, and precious stones, which are valuable things which have eternal significance? Or with wood, hay, and straw? What term does the Bible use for judgment? Fire. What happens if you put gold, silver, and precious stones through the fire? They're just refined. What if you put wood, hay, and straw through the fire? They get burned up. Verse 13 says, each one's work will become clear. So we're getting judged on what did you do after you got saved? Did you show love and compassion to your brothers? Did you feed the poor? Did you take care of widows and orphans in their hard times? What did you do? It says, it will be revealed by fire, that is judgment, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he'll receive a reward. What we're going to see in Revelation 4 is the resurrected and raptured saints will be in their white robes and crowns. Crowns are rewards. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but himself will be saved, yet as so is through fire, because we're saved by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So, in your notes for Revelation 4:2, put Yom HaDin. Yom is Y-O-M space H-A-D-I-N, which means judgment day, a day of judgment, the day of judgment. Verse 3, Revelation 4:3, and he, that is Messiah who sat there, was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. The jasper and the sardius stone are in Exodus 28. Exodus 28. It's just helping us identify who this judge is. In case we didn't know from John chapter 5, it was going to be Messiah. Exodus 28, verses 15 to 21. Exodus 28, verses 15 to 21. Talking about the breastplate of the high priest. You shall make the breastplate of judgment. Artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod, you shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. You shall make it. It's called the breastplate of what? Judgment. It shall be doubled into a square, that is, it's folded in half. It's got a pouch inside. A span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. So it's about 4 to 6 inches, depending upon how big your hand is. You shall put settings of stones in it, 4 rows of stones. The first will be a what? Sardius. A topaz and an emerald, this shall be the first row. The second row shall be turquoise, sapphire, and diamond. The third row, a jacinth, agate, and an amethyst. Verse 20, and the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. So which stones are mentioned in Revelation 4:3? Jasper and a sardius, the first and last stones of the breastplate of judgment. Messiah is the first and the last, remember? He's wearing a breastplate of judgment. But the breastplate of judgment was only for the high priest. So go to the book of Hebrews. And how does Hebrews describe Messiah? As our high priest. So instead of John saying, hey, look, it's our high priest Messiah sitting on a throne, he's giving us all the clues for us to come to that conclusion. Hebrews chapter 9. Starting in verse 11. But Messiah came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Messiah was from the tribe of Judah. He could not have been the high priest in the earthly temple, but the heavenly temple has a different priesthood, the Melchizedekian priesthood, and Messiah is Melchizedek. So he's the high priest, not in the earthly temple on Jerusalem, but in the heavenly temple at God's throne. Verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. That is the Kodesh HaKodeshim, which is the part of the tabernacle or later temple in which the Ark of the Covenant sits. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So Messiah is our high priest who went into the heavenly temple and put his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Not the blood of bulls and goats and calves. That can't remove sin. The blood of bulls and calves on earth was a kippurah, a covering over. So that when God looked down, he saw the blood instead of the sin, and God's judgment was deferred until Messiah's blood who took the sin away. What did John say of Messiah? Behold, the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sin of the world. The animal's blood was just a covering to point to Messiah. Messiah's blood took the sin away. What about the rainbow? Go back to Genesis chapter 9. Why is there a rainbow around the throne? Has it been raining on him? No. What is the significance of the rainbow? Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 8. Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, what's that word saying? It's a quote. These words are from the lips of God. They will never, ever change. And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. So the covenant is not just with man, but also with the earth itself and all its creatures. Verse 11, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again there shall there be a flood to destroy the earth, meaning the entire earth. Has there ever been a second flood that destroyed all life on earth? No. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant. This is the first time God gives a covenantal sign. The word for sign is the Hebrew word oth, O-T-H. It means a symbol that represents the covenant. This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, meaning what? Forever. I set my rainbow in a cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. Now remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature on all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. Add to that Psalm 89, verse 34. Psalm 89, verse 34. So that was the first covenant with a sign. Psalm 89:34, the Lord God says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So if God still remembers the Genesis 9 covenant and its sign, which is the rainbow, it indicates that God has never forgotten a covenant. He's never broken a covenant. He's never broken his word. So it reminds us here in the book of Revelation chapter 4 that when Messiah sits in judgment, his judgment will always be tempered with mercy and remembering the covenants that he gave from the beginning to the end. If you've ever heard a preacher say, the covenant's been broken, it's been done away with, just go, not what my Bible says. So Messiah sits in judgment. He is our high priest who shed his own blood for us. Will he have forgotten that he shed his blood for us? No, he will not. Will he forget that he said he would never again pour out judgment without mercy? No, he will not have forgotten. So let's go on to verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones. What did we read in Daniel chapter 7? Thrones, plural, were put in place. This is telling us about the thrones. 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting. Are these angels? Are angels ever referred to as elders? No. How do we know they're not angels? They're clothed in white robes and they had crowns of gold on their heads. I'm going to tell you who I think the 24 elders are. And if you disagree, that's fine. When we get to heaven, we'll see. So go to Revelation chapter 21. I think it describes for us who the 24 elders are. But Revelation 21 hadn't been written yet. Yeah, I know, but God knows the end from the beginning. Revelation 21 is about the new Jerusalem that descends from heaven. We want to start in verse 12. Describing the city of New Jerusalem, it says, also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, the gates, not the angels. which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So there are 12 gates, three on each side, just like the 12 tribes of Israel were around the tabernacle in the wilderness. Specifically, it identifies which three on each of the four sides. So verse 13, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west, just like they were in the wilderness. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the New Jerusalem is characterized by the 12 tribes, their patriarchs, and the 12 apostles, which total what? 24. So I think, in my opinion, when we come back to Revelation 4, verse 4, the 24 thrones are filled with the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. When will we know for sure? When the trumpet blows.
Wayne?
Yes, sir?
I like that suggestion, but when I came across from Hebrew University, which is obviously from non-messianic rabbis,
yeah,
is they point out that there are 24 courses of priests at the temple.
That's true.
That come and they connect it to that.
Mm-hmm.
I like your one, but I am aware of this one that they talk about.
And when the trumpet blows, we'll know for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's much to be said about this. Why are they in white robes, and why do they have crowns of gold on their heads? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 9 to 10. Second Corinthians 5, verses 9 to 10. Therefore what? Because it's better to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah. That's what we're reading about in Revelation 4, is the judgment seat of Messiah. That each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's the same as 1 Corinthians 3 told us. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. And it goes on. What he says is, everything I do, I'm reminded of the fact that I'm going to have to stand before the Lord in judgment one day to answer for it. So I try and live my life right. Revelation 22 drives home the same point, that our judgment is based upon what we do. Revelation 22, verses 12 to 14. Revelation 22, verses 12 to 14. Revelation 22, which is kind of like the last chapter of the last book. Verse 12, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So this tells us, when do we receive the rewards? Do we get them in this lifetime? No, we get them at come judgment day. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We saw the first and the last stone of the breastplate of the high priest, the first and the last, which in Isaiah 41:4, it referred to the Lord. This just reinforces to us that Yeshua is the Lord. And verse 14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So verse 12, to give to everyone according to his work, and verse 14, blessed or happy are those who do his commandments, tell us how we're going to be judged. Is he going to judge us based upon how nicely we painted a birdhouse? No. It's did we follow the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, or did we not? 1 Corinthians 9:25. 1 Corinthians 9:25. First Corinthians 9:25 tells us one of the five crowns that we may receive come judgment day. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. So what does he mean? What's he trying to tell us to be? Temperate. Humble. What's that? Calm. Not excessive. Don't be like the world. Yep. Don't be a wine bibber, etc. Now they do it, that is those who run in races here on the earth, to obtain a perishable crown. The usual thing you won when you won a race back in the Roman Empire was a laurel wreath around the head, like the emperor wore. It says, but we for an imperishable crown. So temperate is one who exercises self-control, is not given to the needs or desires of the flesh to walk in earthly things. And we do it for an imperishable crown, that is one that will never perish, will never pass away. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. Refers to the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah at his coming? What verse 19 means is when you get to heaven come judgment day and see all the people that you had a hand in bringing to the Lord, people that you witnessed to, people that you shared with, and see them standing in the kingdom instead of burning in the lake of fire, you're going to rejoice and rejoice and rejoice. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4 is where Paul tells Timothy, son, you better preach the word. Don't tickle people's ears. Tell them the truth whether they want to hear it or whether they don't. 2 Timothy 4, 8. I'm not God, I can't judge, but I'm going to get me this crown. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. What day? Day of the Lord. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I'm looking forward to the Lord's coming. I'm going to get me that crown. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 12.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.